Are you ready for the latest Habs news, passionate debates, and in-depth analysis from hockey experts around the league? It's the most informative and interactive podcast about the Montreal Canadiens. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast, featured on allhabs.net, with your hosts, Joe Whalen and Rick Stevens.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection Podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio, keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained. My name is Joseph Whalen, and I'm going to be your host for the next hour. This is episode 90 of the Canadiens Connection Podcast, the Tomáš Tatar edition, and I'm pleased to be joined, as always, by the Tomáš Tatar to my Joe Juno, Mr. Rick Stevens. How are you doing on this fine day, Rick?
I'm doing great. And like we were both saying, I think we're both really excited for this podcast. Yeah. Maybe all the energy that we had from this discussion after the draft lottery last night, but there's actually plenty for us to talk about today.
Oh, is there ever? And I mean, we've heard from Carey Price this week, which is always a pleasure to hear from Carey Price, here from the franchise goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens. We have some news about Jesperi Kotkaniemi that we didn't think we would have, which is always, it's nice to hear about his progression with that spleen injury. And we're going to get to that in just a few moments. Of course, as you said, the draft lottery last night, we're going to be talking about that in our big topic.
That's our
segment
big
number
topic.
Two. Is it ever? And for good reason, because an event transpired last night that I don't think many people envisioned happening, and it set the hockey world on fire in moments. And it's not since cooled. Like, this is very much an ongoing story, and we want to talk about it because it concerns the Montreal Canadiens as well. So we're going to get to that in segment number two. Before we go any further,
I just want to celebrate episode 90. It's a big deal, and for us to get to episode 90, and we've got some changes coming up that we'll talk about in the third segment. But you mentioned Tomáš Tatar, and should be a big part of the qualifying round. And you also mentioned Joey Junot, maybe some Canadiens fans have forgotten about, but he's just such an interesting character. You know, he was drafted by the Bruins back in 88 and a fourth round pick. And by the time he got to the Canadiens, he had, he wasn't quite the same player, but his rookie season with the Boston Bruins, 32 goals, 70 assists for 102 points. Remarkable rookie season. Now, mind you, he was playing with none other than Adam Oates and Cam Neely, which is not a bad trio.
Not bad company.
But that came after a pretty successful NCAA career at RPI, and he played with the Bruins and the Capitals and the Sabres and the Coyotes, and he had a pretty storied career, 800 some odd NHL games, but just an odd character. Always thought of and described as kind of a moody player, because he was kind of always on his own and doing his own thing. And even when he was at RPI, he was very studious. He got a 3-year engineering degree while he was there. Patrice Brisebois, there was a quote that described Joey Junot. He said, "I'm not saying Joey is weird, but he always liked doing things that were different." And there was a story that I heard about Joey Junot, and I just wanted to relate it. It's kind of that, you know, where are they now kind of segment I used to do on from the press box. And after he retired with the Canadiens, it was the 2001 to 2004. He had three seasons of 70 games, 36 points, 22 points, 15 points. As I said, he just wasn't the same guy. And he retired after that. And he went up to northern Quebec. He lived in Quebec City. He flew up to northern Quebec in Nunavik to go on a caribou hunting trip. And he came to the community of Kujujak. And let me say that again. Kujuak. way up in Nunavik in northern Quebec, and he came upon this community in his caribou, and it was a fascinating community. They had a nice arena, they had lots of money for their community programming, but nobody was playing hockey, and he felt so inspired and compelled that he moved from Quebec City after a pretty successful career in the NHL to this tiny Inuit community of 2,000 people to run their hockey program.
Wow.
Yeah. it's was there for 11 years. Really developed this program. It became a $2.5 million funded program, involving 180 kids in the community and getting them to play hockey and getting them, activity and into their studies. And, of course, as I said, he's a very studious kind of guy too. And, and he's a drummer. So he shared a bit of that and he took his wife, Elsa and their two daughters way up north for 11 years and devoted his post NHL life to this tiny community and full credit to him for doing something like that. It's a story I wanted to relate because I think, you know, we don't hear enough of those kind of good news stories.
That's a remarkable story, and it sounds like Joe Juno is a very well-rounded person. I mean, you mentioned he's a drummer. You mentioned, I mean, a little bit of a strange character in the room. Sounds like he was a goaltender amongst forwards, with the reputation of some goalies as being a little bit on their own and weird in some ways. But listen, that's a remarkable story, and it's what we like to do here on the Canadians Connection podcast is make some connections, inform and engage as well, so we can tick all those off the list with that remarkable story here on episode 90 of the Canadians Connection podcast, a very special story for episode 90. So, Rick, with that said, we also this week, we had the Hockey Hall of Fame that has announced their inductees that will be inducted later on this year in November, should all things go according to plan. And that the list of inductees includes Marian Hossa, Jerome McGinley, Kevin Lowe, Kim St. Pierre, and Doug Wilson amongst the players. And then you have Ken Holland going in as a builder. So obviously every time there's a Hockey Hall of Fame class that gets announced, the thing that everyone goes to right away is, okay, who got snubbed and who in that group maybe should be replaced by somebody who got snubbed. So Rick, who did you see in that class, and who do you think was the biggest snub of this year's Hall of Fame class?
Well, I really didn't have too much difficulty with the top three of the group. Ken Holland, and I thought it was funny that Ken said he was totally shocked. Well, as a builder, of course, Ken Holland is going to be in there, and particularly what he did with the Detroit Red Wings. Jerome McGinley, that was a fabulous choice, and his first year of eligibility, of course, and he was humble, and he was thrilled for the induction. Marian Hossa, I think absolutely should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, I mean, you can quibble about whether he should be in his first year of eligibility. Maybe not. I don't know. But he was the key guy. Not always the guy, but the key extra piece that teams added. As we know, he was in the Stanley Cup playoffs three consecutive years for three different teams. And he was the guy that you wanted on your team if you're going to make a long playoff run. So I have no problem with that. Doug Wilson and Kevin Lowe, those are iffy choices for me. I'm not sure. As far as I don't know what was your thought on that?
Well, immediately the reaction on Twitter, and specifically, I want to haul up a tweet from a guest that you had on the most recent episode of From the Press Box, Joe Yerden. Who said, no Alexander McGillney again, huh? I guess, a brilliant career in which you risk your life to defect from the Soviet Union to play in the NHL just doesn't count for much. And I think that sums it up pretty perfectly. And those were the thoughts of a lot of hockey fans who immediately after, in the aftermath of this announcement, were asking that question. Where is Alexander Mogilny? It's been years now that he's been eligible. And it's strange that he hasn't been put into the Hockey Hall of Fame yet. And I know that there were others that were making a case for Daniel Alfredson, and I'm a Daniel Alfredson guy. I love the locks, the golden locks of hair back in the day. I don't know if he's a guy that, you know, there's still time for him yet to be inducted, but Alexander Mogilny, my goodness, it's been so long that, and he hasn't been put in. And that's really, it's curious. Especially the history, the story of his career.
Well, 830 goal seasons for Alexander Mogilny, and that remarkable season, the 92-93 season. Of course, the season is remarkable for Canadiens fans because it ends with a Habs Stanley Cup. But during the season, both Alexander Mogilny and Teemu Selänne, 76 goals. Now, maybe you can say Solani's was a bit more remarkable because he was a rookie at the time, but still, 76 goals for Mogilny there. And, as Joe Yurden knows what he's talking about, what else does he have to do? Alfredson, for me, I know a case can be made, and I have an email that we'll read in the third segment saying that, expressing disappointment that Mogilny was, or that Alfredson wasn't added. I just don't like Daniel Alfredson. I don't like him. And that's as a Habs fan. It has nothing to do with, I see him as the guy that was on the other side of the rules and maybe the Thomas Plekanec kind of stick work kind of guy. I would understand if he was brought up in later years. The three for me, Mogilny for sure was snubbed. I'm going to keep bringing this up until my last breath. Paul Henderson deserves to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I don't care what anybody says. He had a decent NHL career. He had a spectacular WHA career. And remember, it's the Hockey Hall of Fame, not the NHL Hall of Fame. And for the 72 Summit Series, not only for the final game, but how he played and how he changed hockey with that goal. For that reason alone, he should be in the Hall of Fame. And the other snub is just goalies in general. And I saw a tweet go by, and I'm going to have to check this out, but that said that in the past 40 years, there have been six goalies added, inducted into the Hall of Fame, which, if that's true, is ridiculous. But as I thought back, I don't remember a lot of goalies being added. There's far too few goalies that are considered. And so, Lanny, get on those three. For me, get on those three.
Yeah, and I agree with all of that because, you know, it's difficult because I know that, and I've seen on Twitter over the last number of years, the supporters for Kevin Lowe to be inducted into the Hall of Fame because he was viewed as being an integral part of those Edmonton Oilers teams, the dynasty years. But I mean, yeah, it's there are guys that have really truly earned it with their careers, and not to take anything away from Kevin Lowe, but I mean, just it's the Hall of Fame. So it should be very difficult to be included in that group. And that should be the standard that you set, that you need to be great on your own as a player to be inducted. And I think that's what it should be.
My brother always says it's not the pretty good Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly. And I think someone, I remember someone saying it, it's about the Paul Simons, not the Garfunkels. As a fan of Art Garfunkel, I was a little bit offended by that, but I understand the sentiment. But moving on, Rick. So as I said, we have some news regarding Jesperi Kotkaniemi. And it was not too long ago that we thought that Jesperi Kotkaniemi's spleen injury was not progressing very well, that it might take months, and you'd be looking at next season, the start of next season, whenever that would be, as when you would next see Jesperi Kotkaniemi playing for the Montreal Canadiens organization, whether it be in with Montreal or with Laval, where he was the last time that we saw him. But we actually have some pretty positive news out of an Arpan Basu article in The Athletic, that says that Jesperi Kotkaniemi is ready to join Habs training camp and not just coming to rehab the spleen injury. He's coming ready to play, which that is going to add some more intrigue to the Canadiens training camp and this resumption of play potentially.
This is fabulous news. If he's ready, and we've seen the pictures of him playing tennis and he looks like he's bulked up a bit, looks in terrific shape. Arpin seems to have a bit of an inside track with the Kotkaniemis and got this scoop that Jesperi will be ready to go. Also reported that Kotkaniemi's agent, Marcus Lehto, said that there was a charter flight being organized by some of the Finnish players that was going to fly into New York. Well, instead, Kotkaniemi's going to fly directly to Montreal next week, and so that's also good news. Remember, this whole thing is kind of... there's such a mystery, and I don't understand. The Canadians didn't really even acknowledge the injury at first. It was because he was playing in Laval at the time, and then there was like radio silence on what the injury was, and it was very odd. And we remember back to Mark Bergevin's very short press conference that, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically when he was asked about it. Mark Bergevin said, "I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah. I don't, he's over in Finland. I'm here. I don't know." Well, there's telephones, Mark, and email and whatnot. Anyways, so I don't know why the Canadians have been so, have clamped down on the news about him, but good on Arpin for getting this. And for Canadians fans, huge news that he'll be available for the qualifying round.
Absolutely. And, you know, in this article, Arvin Basu talks about, how Joel Bouchard had praise for Jesperi Kotkaniemi at the time that he got injured. It was unfortunate timing because his game seemed to be up a level in terms of, the playmaking that you saw from Jesperi Kotkaniemi, the assist numbers that he was putting up, added in an empty netter. You're looking at a guy that was really looking like he had turned a corner and should have been back on the way to Montreal relatively soon. And, now with this resumption of play, if there's an opportunity that he can play this season, finish out this year, get into those qualification round games, if Claude Julien decides that's what he wants to do, which is another point that Arpin Basu brings up, it's going to bring a level of intrigue to this, and to these games if they happen.
Well, and I understand that some Canadians fans have kind of soured on Jesperi Kotkaniemi, and I've seen on even our pages on Facebook, the All Habs Facebook page, fans are saying, "Oh, he's a bust," and the Canadians should have chosen Brady Tkachuk, but you have to remember how young he is, and how he was thrust into the fire so early and quickly, and I think it's fair to say that at the time you and I were saying, and we were kind of on an island, we're saying, we would like to see Kotkaniemi go back to Finland for another year, and everybody was no, he's ready, and look, he's playing well, when he started that training camp, and then it was only a year or two later that it was Saku Koivu supported us and said, no, he should have went back to Finland. Now, this week, and some people might have missed it, but it was Louis Jean who was doing and Louis Jean, a friend of the show, has been on our show, did an interview with Martin Lapointe, and Marty Lapointe said, and I'll read the quote, "In a perfect world, he," that's Kotkaniemi, "would have played one more season in Finland. But we needed a center." Well, you needed a center. Why would you do that to your future first line center? Hopefully, future first line center. Yeah. And I think the reason is because the Canadians had a really bad season the year before. They needed positive buzz in training camp. They needed good news to start the season, and as we remember, it was all the reports were about Kotkaniemi, and that's wrong. That's really wrong.
And yeah, we've touched this season. Remember back to, the Canadians need a backup goaltender because Keith Kincaid hasn't been playing well. Okay, well, Charlie Lindgren's down there. You can call him up. He's got NHL experience. No, we're going to go with Caden Primo because we need to distract from everything that's happening right now. So this is the same story, essentially. They could have went. This is the Montreal Canadiens we're talking about. Every offseason, they sign some random depth guy, whether it's Nick Cousins or Alex Hemsky, hoping that he'll play on a first line right wing. They've done this in the past. They could have just done it again and just signed a random veteran and let Kotkaniemi, a guy that I would assume they have high hopes for going forward into the future, give him an opportunity to develop. And they went the opposite direction. Luckily, I mean, Jesperi Kotkaniemi's rookie season, I think it was relatively successful. They probably shouldn't have sat him out those two games. We remember back to last season when they said that he looked tired. Claude Julien said he looked tired, sat him out against San Jose and Winnipeg. I mean, you could have not done that, but other than that, relatively successful. And then this season is, I think more than anything, he got scapegoated and couldn't really recover from that. But regardless, the fact that he's coming back
is great news. Now, while we're talking about Marty Lapointe and his views on young players, there was something else that caught my attention in the interview with Louis Jean, and he was asked about the Max Pacioretty trade to the Vegas Golden Knights, and Marty Lapointe said in the trade, Vegas, or Mark Bergevin asked Vegas for another player other than Nick Suzuki. Now, he didn't say who that was, but I think my guess it would be Cody Glass. So Mark Bergevin asked for Cody Glass. And let's remember that Mark Bergevin is credited in that trade for his insight. And it was Vegas who countered Mark Bergevin's request with Nick Suzuki. Now, Marty Lapointe said, Bergevin hadn't asked for him. Marty Lapointe said he wasn't a fan of Nick Suzuki. He didn't like his skating. So they went to Trevor Timmons, and Trevor Timmons said, make the deal. So I thought that was an interesting insight into, Bergevin credited for that trade, but yet it was Trevor Timmons behind the scenes who, according to Martin Lapointe, who deserves some credit for that, for the way the deal played out for the Canadiens.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw this last year when the Canadiens released that video of them at the draft where Trevor Timmons in his zone making decisions with draft picks and prospects, and that's his strength. We know that to be his strength. Interesting that he's the one that says to make the deal, and ultimately they make the deal. It's some insight into how decisions are being made with the Montreal Canadiens. And Nick Suzuki's a young player as well, so I guess it sort of falls into the category of scouting and all that, but still, very interesting. So Rick, moving on, this week, Carey Price won the Molson Cup for the 2019-2020 season. That is the ninth time that he's won that award. I think he's getting used to it, or at least he should be getting used to it at this point. And because of that, we got to hear from Carey Price this week, which is always great, always a pleasure to hear from the franchise goaltender. And he expressed both his desire to get an opportunity to win a Stanley Cup, but also, within reason, voicing some concerns for health and safety in this resumption of play.
It's a little remarkable that he won the award to begin with, because when RDS is picking the Stars at home, it's like pulling teeth for Carey Price to get on the board. So he had to make it up in other ways, and good on him. As you said, ninth time. I thought it was interesting that on the Canadiens, the news out of this, there was a particular line that I thought made news out of this conference call. And try as I might, I can't find it in the Canadiens' official transcript of how it came down, but yet it's been reported elsewhere. So Carrie said, I think about an equal amount of optimism or pessimism. That's in talking about the return to play. It's a very unusual situation. I want the opportunity to be able to play for a Stanley Cup, but I want to be able to continue living life normally. A lot of cases haven't panned out for people very well. I have friends, family members who have passed away from COVID-19, and it's nothing to balk about. It's a very serious situation. I don't think everybody has all the answers, so that's why I feel that way. Now, that is, he's expressing some concern. He's expressing some doubt. He's expressing that he doesn't have all the answers yet to make a decision. The Canadians didn't include that in their summary of the teleconference, and I thought that was a bit telling.
Yeah, and I mean, you can understand why Carey Price would be concerned about this, and obviously, it's not even just going and playing and potentially. I mean, you look at the opportunity that he himself could contract the virus, but on the opposite end of the spectrum, too, is you have the fact that he'd be leaving his family behind, which is something we've discussed on this show as being something that athletes are being asked to do. That it's pretty difficult to ask them to do that. NBA player Avery Bradley, he pulled out of going to Florida because he has a son that has a history of not recovering well from respiratory illnesses. So it's not just exclusive to hockey. But for Carey Price, you think he's got two young children, a third on the way. His wife is pregnant. Angela's pregnant. So it's asking quite a lot for him to go and not only risk his health, but also spend time away from his family and risk being away for whatever might come up back home. Because he said that Angela and the kids would be staying in Washington State. So it's, man, you have to think about what you're asking these athletes to do.
It was just this week that the CDC added pregnancy to the list of things that make you have an increased risk for the coronavirus. So you understand why. And as you said, with Liv and Millie at home and Angela pregnant, that they're going to stay. They're going to stay in Kennewick, as I understand, Kennewick, Washington, where Carey is now and has been preparing. You know, he wants a chance to win the Stanley Cup. I think Absolutely. He knows that it's going to be, well, he said, beating the Pittsburgh Penguins to get to the playoffs is going to be an enormous challenge, that he's looking forward to that challenge. And he said, as far as why they have a shot, well, they're rested, they're healthy, they're fresh. And that they're a team that's shown that they can get really hot and go on a run. So they would have to do that for three games against the Penguins.
Yeah, and he said that he relishes the opportunity to be that difference maker. That remember the Larry Brooks article, the New York Post, and remember the talk about Carey Price in the format and the discussions about what the format would be. That players brought up Carey Price as being an X factor that would make them want it to be a longer series, not a best of three, but a best of five, because beating Carey Price can win two games on his own. He's done that before, so obviously. But he says that he's relishing that type of role as being an X factor in these games, and certainly the opportunity to win a Stanley Cup for Carey Price. You know that is something that he wants to do so badly.
He said it's a great opportunity if we get to play. And again, you know, this train seems to be all in one direction from the NHL and fans and everything, but it's the players, every chance they get, they remind us that maybe they'll be playing and that they haven't really agreed to anything just yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's important to note, especially given, you know, last week we were here talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning shutting down their practice facility, Austin Matthews reportedly testing positive, all of these things. And that news hasn't really gone away. In fact, there have been more positive tests around the sporting world we'll be getting to in just a few moments. But Rick, where these players will be headed is the ultimate question. Should this resumption of play happen? We know that Vegas is one of those cities that will be hosting. we've been awaiting what the second one will be, and there's been talk that Canada is being looked at, and they want the second one to be in Canada. This week, Vancouver was ruled out of being a hub city, but Edmonton and Toronto are still being evaluated.
Boy, this stuff changes so fast, because last week we were all about, we discussed on this show that Vegas was in, and that Vancouver looked to be a lock. Because they had managed in the province of British Columbia, they had managed the situation pretty well. At that point, I was hearing all kinds of things that the NHL was about to make an announcement at the end of the week that it would be Vegas and Vancouver. However, negotiations broke down between the NHL and the Vancouver Health Authorities. That was on Tuesday that things kind of fell apart, and it was the chief medical officer for British Columbia. Her name is Dr. Bonnie Henry. She would not agree to the NHL demands concerning when players tested positive. She wanted the option of saying, if there's a positive test, we'll do like we have done in this province. There's going to be contact tracing. There's going to be all kinds of investigations, and that could lead to a suspension of a series that was in progress, depending on the number of players. And the NHL wouldn't go for that. They didn't want to turn over that decision to the local health officials. It was the federal government, we remember, that removed the mandatory quarantine requirements, and that paved the way for Canada, for the NHL in Canada, because it was looking for a time that Canada wasn't even under consideration. Yeah. So then they were back in, and then it was the BC's top doctor that wouldn't compromise her pandemic program to meet the play requirements of the NHL, and that's where it all fell apart. So where are we? We've got five teams, according officially to the NHL. We have five cities, and they are Chicago and Los Angeles to begin with. And in my opinion, there's not a chance. There's not a chance. They're there as backups, I guess. Then Edmonton, I think they put in a pretty good bid, but the two front runners at this point are Toronto and Las Vegas. And remember, we said last week that with Vancouver and Vegas, that the East would be going to Vegas. Well, that's all been scrapped, and it looks like if it's Toronto, Vegas, the East will go to Toronto, the West will be in Vegas.
Yeah, and that makes sense. The inherent advantages of playing in your home arena, I mean, I don't know. It's not like you're playing at the Joe Louis Arena back in 2010 or 2009 where there's active boards. I don't know if you need to worry about that. But Toronto, for the record, I remember there was the game last year where William Nylander scored a goal on Carey Price where it just bounced so randomly out in front of the net. But regardless, there isn't that type of advantage that you used to see back in the Joe Louis Arena. But regardless, we'll keep an eye on this as we move on. But down to Edmonton and Toronto in Canada.
And there was, in addition to the hub cities, there was all kinds of little pieces also coming out. Of course, the NHL and the NHLPA are negotiating not only the return to play, but some kind of modified CBA or at least a memo of understanding that would extend the CBA, we're told, for up to 6 years, which would be big progress. And the, some of the stumbling points are around the escrow. And if you did the escrow by the numbers, and we remember escrow is that piece, that mechanism that allows the players and the owners, the franchises, to share equally the revenues, 50% each. So that escrow is a bit of a buffer to make sure that happens by the end of the year. It was looking like that escrow was going to have to be 35% given the downturn in revenues from the pandemic. But they've agreed that there will be a cap on escrow going forward for the next few years at 20%. There'll be a one-time 10% salary deferment on top of that to kind of help the owners get through this. The players are still going to get their money, but it's just going to be deferred. The other thing we're hearing is that the cap is likely to stay pretty stable at about 81.5 for the next 3 years. Maybe in the third year might bump up to 82.5, but the cap is probably, there was all kinds of speculation whether the cap would drop, whether what would happen with it, but it looks like they're going to try to keep the cap stable. So you can speculate who is advantaged by that, who is disadvantaged. And the other part we heard, as I mentioned earlier, is that European players are starting to charter flights and make their way to North American cities. So that's moving the ball forward, and it's all going to happen. Is it going to happen? Are they going to be able to get that vote in? Because all players will be voting. All 700 players will be voting. Are they going to get that in before the 10th? Are training camps going to be moved back? We don't yet know, but they have been making progress.
Yeah, and just to follow up on the NHL and NHLPA and the escrow and all of that, there were actually some comments from NHL players, inflammatory comments from Artemi Panarin and Ryan Kessler about escrow and feeling that they should end #EndEscrow, according to Ryan Kessler. What do you make of that?
It's interesting because we've seen in other sports, MLB in particular, the players go public with their disagreements. And it's not only disagreeing with the owners or the league, it's disagreeing with each other about how to move forward. And kind of for the first time, we saw that come out with Panarin and Kessler. I have two thoughts about that. First, I don't think they know what in the world they're talking about. I don't think they understand the economics of hockey. And the escrow is there for them. The escrow is there because they demanded to have 50% of the revenues. What I guess many of them didn't consider is that there could be a downturn, so that in their push to get 50% of the revenues, they also have to take 50% of the losses. And, Panarin said something outrageous about the owners. They've funded the owners and they've bailed them out. It's absolute nonsense. And then Kessler piled in, and I think that the real difficulty there is the whining about the fact that there was going to be this escrow, this 20% escrow off their salaries. It's not like it's a reduction. They're going to get the money. It's just a delay. Yeah. And particularly even with the salary deferment, and for players who are making millions of dollars and have made millions of dollars in their career, like Kessler, to be whining when their fans are really impacted financially by the pandemic, it's just, they're absolutely tone deaf. And that's really, really unfortunate.
Yeah. And my issue is not so much that they're, listen, if they feel like they've been slighted, if they feel that this is a problem, by all means, months, if we're not in the middle of a pandemic, address it. By all means, go for it. But yeah, it shows a complete lack of perspective into what's actually been going on right now, and the financial, as you mentioned, the financial difficulties that this pandemic has caused for the people that watch these guys play. So to me, I mean, when it comes to labor disputes like this, I'm generally on the players' side of things. Like, I think back to Max Pacioretty in 2011 when Zdeno Chara ran him into the turnbuckle at the Bell Center, and at that point he was on his entry level deal. So if that, a few millimeters more, as people have speculated and said, that they potentially could have ended his career, then he doesn't go on and make the millions of dollars that his peers have made as well. So it's difficult in that way, but yeah, it's not the time nor the place to be bickering and squabbling about this. It's just not. It just shows a lack of perspective. So it's not a fan of seeing things like that at this point in time when so many people have struggled, as you said, and have not had the luxury of making millions of dollars to support themselves at this point. But yes, Rick, so moving on, because we want to get to the draft lottery in segment two, but we had some positive tests this week, unfortunately. I remember last week, as I said, Austin Matthews reportedly testing positive and the Tampa Bay Lightning shutting down their facility. Amongst other positive tests, remember 23 football players at the University of Clemson as well. And this week, it sort of continued in that way. NBA star center for the Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, tested positive. Buddy Hield of the Sacramento Kings in the NBA also tested positive. Charlie Blackman, an outfielder for the Colorado Rockies, tested positive. And you had the number one, men's number one tennis player in the world, Novak Djokovic, who hosted some tournaments in Serbia and Croatia. He tested positive because he just showed a complete disregard for the virus in those tournaments. No social distancing or anything were in effect. Dumb. And then he went out to a nightclub just to pour it all, just for salt of the wound, I guess. Yeah, went out for a nightclub. Yeah, not his best moment. I remember, and people were saying about Rudy Gobert that he showed a complete, and he did, he absolutely did, a complete disregard. But for Novak Djokovic to do that now, after we've been 3 months into this, boy, oh boy, yeah, not a good look for Novak.
No, not at all. That was bad.
Yep. And just to add to that, the MLB, as I said last week, they were rounding the corner in terms of coming in agreement with the labor disputes that they were having. And it looks like that they've finally gotten to the point where they've made an agreement and they're going to be playing a 60-game season. Of course, if all of this, the pandemic, that they join now the NBA and the NHL in terms of just sort of waiting and seeing what transpires. Because remember last week, the MLB actually closed down all their training facilities. So it will be interesting to see if we get to see baseball in 2020 as well. They do have the agreement, so we wait to see what comes next. But Rick, with all that said, we'll say we'll wrap this thing up for the first segment. And when we come back, we'll discuss the draft lottery, which very, very much caught the attention of hockey fans in the hockey world. So we'll take a break. Stay with us here on the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. We are specifically interested in individuals who have education and/or experience in the following areas: sports writing, translation, editing, forum administration, social media administration, multimedia, graphic design, web development and user support, event planning, and sponsorship and marketing. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, visit allhabs.net and click the Join Our Team tab today. In every city around the world, sports fans flock to popular watering holes to share a few pints, some good grub, and to cheer for their team. Think your favorite sports bar deserves to be recognized? Or are you traveling to a new place and need to find the perfect spot to watch a game? HockeyPub.com is the answer. Find out where the best spots are located in your city to eat, drink, and meet fellow fans. HockeyPub.com. Want the latest Habs news with game previews, reviews, and highlights? How about full coverage of development camps and special events? Looking to follow the Laval Rocket more closely this season? Perhaps you'd like to learn more about team prospects. Would you like a place to socialize with hockey fans all over the world? We've got what you're looking for at allhabs.net, the place where you'll find everything you need to be the most informed and connected Habs fan around. allhabs.net.
Welcome back here to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter at JoeWhalen19. You can follow Rick on Twitter at AllHabs. And you can follow at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So, Rick, last night, what a night. The NHL draft lottery, phase one of the NHL draft lottery, went last night. And we found out some stuff, and we didn't find out other stuff, which we will find out later, because this is all very convoluted. And we remember back to when Gary Bettman was explaining all of this, and he said that this part in particular was going to be confusing. And boy, oh boy, has it ever been confusing. So a mystery team has landed the first overall pick in phase one of the draft lottery. And that set Twitter a little bit on fire.
Oh, did it ever? And I think it's important to, you know, what was this, if not for the pandemic, what was this supposed to be? And Friday night would have been the first round of the 2020 NHL entry draft in Montreal. Now, for us, for Rocket Sports, for all of us, the draft is, and I tell people all the time, the draft is the most special experience in the NHL, in hockey. It's different. It's different than anything else. And some people don't believe me until they get there and then experience it. And we have been, since 2009, we have a contest and we bring 50 fans with it. Well, it's our staff as well as a huge number of fans. And we've partnered with the NHL since 2009 and set up this experience to give fans a lower bowl at the draft, unlike any other experience they've had. And in the hallways, you're running into everybody from hockey. The first time we did that was 2009 in Montreal. So this was going to be our return, you know, bringing everybody back to Montreal, and it was going to be an amazing event. And okay, the pandemic hit, and you know, the draft is held after the season when everything is known, all the positions are known, all of the conditional kind of deals are worked out, everything's known. Yeah. But there was the NHL draft that got a huge amount of attention, and Gary Bettman said, "I want some of that. I want some of that." So, yeah. Why was the draft lottery held last night? Why was it held out of sequence with the NHL critical dates calendar? That was Gary Bettman. That Gary Bettman was adamant that he wanted to have the attention, to maximize the attention that it would give to the NHL by sports fans and the opportunity to lure in new fans. And I said when all of this kind of came up that one of the reasons that the NFL was so successful is, you know, it wasn't all that different from, no. I mean, people were in their basements, in their war rooms, but otherwise all the rules concerning the draft were the same, and it was pretty easy to follow. When this formula came out, you and I talked about it. Gary had trouble explaining it. Fans had trouble. And last night, you know, I had people in my timeline said, okay, so what does that mean? And these are hockey fans. These are hockey fans. You saw on the face of Luke Robitaille and Rob Blake's saying, you could see on their face, like, what just happened? You know, the rules of the draft lottery were, in order to have it before the season ended, before the playoffs happened, to do that, the rules of the draft lottery had to be turned completely inside out.
Yeah.
Making them incredibly complicated. Incredibly complicated for hardcore hockey fans, never mind the casual, these casual onlookers that Bettman was trying to attract. The process was unnecessarily convoluted so that these placeholders were added into the mix. And then a second, running of the lottery was added to the process if necessary. And now, is necessary. Both of those features came into place on Friday. So now we need a second night of the draft lottery at a yet to be determined date. We don't know when that's going to happen. and a placeholder team actually won the draft lottery. This is madness. Is this madness?
This is madness. And I think Dave Hodd put it pretty succinctly here on Twitter. He tweeted earlier today, the number one rule for any sports league, if the fans can't understand it, it's a bad idea. And I think that hits the nail on the head right there, because we could not make sense of it when we were discussing it. We were discussing a lot of things when we discussed this format for the NHL draft lottery. We were also discussing the playoffs. There was a lot of information flying around, and we didn't really, I don't even have to think at the time, I completely understood what was happening when this was announced. And then last night happens, and as you said, as we've discussed, a mystery team gets the first overall pick in phase one of the draft lottery. Now, as you said, there will be a phase two that's going to be conducted between the qualifying round and the first round of the 2020 playoffs, and that's going to include all eight teams who do not advance from the qualifying round. And each team will have identical 1-8 odds at getting the honor to pick Alexis Lafreniere, who is presumed to go number one overall. So if the NHL doesn't return to play, if this doesn't happen, as we've said, the NHL players haven't agreed, they haven't said it explicitly that they are going back to play, they just have the format, then if they don't, then there are eight teams that will have equal 12.5% chances of winning the pick. The Canadiens, the Blackhawks, the Coyotes, the Wild, the Jets, the Rangers, the Panthers, and the Jackets. And that's based off of points percentage at the time that the season was paused. So, Rick, yeah, this has opened up a whole other can of worms.
Well, everybody's watching it, and they're filling the half hour with nonsense at the beginning, and you see Alexis Lafreniere all mic'd up and ready to go because now he's going to find out where he's going, except he didn't. and the Red Wings, they fell from 1-4. After such a horrible season and a season where they got 17 wins, 39 points, their goal differential was ridiculous. And they fall from 1-4. The Senators from 2-5 in their pick, and the other one at 3. As I said, the Kings looked stunned. Rob Blake looked like he was going to put his fist through the wall. The hockey community was universally shocked, I think. Yeah. And the process was so chaotic that a number of the principals, after it was over, declined to be interviewed. One of those was Lafreniere. He was set to go with Catherine Tappan on the NHL Network. He declined. Donald Fehr, executive director of the NHLPA, declined. Brian Burke, who is usually a pretty, he works for a rights holder, so he's pretty careful about what he says, and he worked for the NHL, so he's usually pretty positive. He said this was a disgrace. Mm-hmm. It was, Pierre Dorion, he tried to put his positive spin on, as he does on everything. Steve Yzerman said, just kind of in resignation, to be honest, I'm not surprised. Basically, Yzerman was saying, what use is it to complain about it now? The NHL had their system, and we had to play along, kind of thing. It was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, and this is what I'm thinking, though, is that this could not actually have gone better for the NHL when you look at it, though, too, because the teams that are going to be potentially playing in that qualification round, you look at some of the teams that are involved in that, and then they get eliminated, and so you have teams that thought that they didn't have a snowball's chance in hell at grabbing Alexis Lafreniere. Now they do, and so those fan bases are going to be overjoyed. But overall, this format and what it does and what it means, as you said, the NFL, when they did theirs, it wasn't that different. The NHL, this has been significantly different, to the point where you could probably have Alexis Lafreniere play a version of the dating game and just go behind a divider and pick which team that sounds the best to him. Because at this point, what else are you going to do? It's just, it seems like it's been such a gimmick, and it seemed like it almost invited that this specific scenario would happen. and that you would have a team. Like, let's say, as I said, I played the hypothetical game a couple of weeks back when we talked about the qualification round that the Montreal Canadiens beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's say they do, and then the Pittsburgh Penguins get to draft Alexi Lafreniere and dominate another decade. You know, like, it's opened up this entire situation, and it seems like the NHL invited it to do that.
Well, it was Gary Bettman saying one of the reasons he wanted to do this early is for those teams that were out of this play on procedure. Yes. In the first place, he wanted to engage them. He wanted to energize them. You take a look at the Red Wings fans on Twitter. You take a look at the Sens fans. Regardless of what Dorian said, they're not happy. Are they energized? I don't know. Not in a positive way. And as you pointed out, I mean, there was chaos last night, but this could get worse. Who knows what's going to happen in the qualifying round with teams that have been, you know, had this layoff. There's bound to be upsets. And if that upset is a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins, what did they do in the regular season? Oh, they finished with 86 points, and the Detroit Red Wings finished with 39.
Yeah.
And if they get to pick ahead of Detroit, that's not fair. That the league has lost the integrity of the draft, and I think if that happens, there's going to be pressure on Bettman to resign, because this would be a disaster, an absolute disaster.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at it. I know that people look at the draft and say that specific teams are tanking, and you know, unfortunately, some of the teams are there year in, year out. We see the Buffalo Sabres there an awful lot, and sometimes it gets frustrating, and people want to implement different types of ways to incentivize not tanking. But for the team like Detroit, coming off of 20 years of dominance, they're in the infancy of their rebuild. This could have been a huge night for them to really start in motion this new wave, this energetic wave of young players for the Detroit Red Wings. And Steve Yzerman, we know, is great when it comes to drafting young talent and building in and building a team that way. And Pierre Dorion, as you said, yeah, it's his job to really sell hope, and he tried saying that they had two top five picks, but you know that they wanted to be in the top three, at least, you know, in the top two more than have that third pick. I mean, you wanted to be one or two. 3 and 5 is a little bit of, you've kind of lost there a little bit, especially when you looked at the fact that they could have had two top three picks. But regardless, I mean, the thing that everyone is going to look at now is what this means for the teams in the qualification round that lose, because that's where these eyes are going to go. And Montreal, being who they are, and the fact that Alexi Lafreniere, Quebec kid, is the first overall pick, the projected first overall pick. I mean, what does this mean for the Montreal Canadiens? And what does this mean for every team? Does you want to incentivize not tanking? But for teams that feel like they don't have a shot, what is this going to do to the integrity of this qualification round?
Well, Dave Stubbs has kind of, you know, it's time to move on, Dave. And he tried, you know the hockey cliches, you know, all of the 110%. Well, Dave Stubbs tried a hockey cliche last night. And said, not one NHL player is interested in tanking. These guys have played to win since Pee-wee. They don't celebrate losing no matter its impact on a draft. What happens if the team loses this year or any year is for management. Playing to win is in every player's DNA. Sorry, Dave. I know players. And here's one. Robin Lehner tweeted, training camp will be optional for a few teams, it seems, with the laughing emoji. You know, why wouldn't, of course it's crossing their minds for the Canadians, who, even if they manage to get past a miracle upon miracles to get past the Penguins, they're not built to go far in the playoffs. They're just not. Do they have a chance of winning the Stanley Cup this year? No. So why wouldn't players' minds wander to, oh, we have a chance, a 12.5% chance, 1 in 8 chance of getting the top pick overall. That's 1 in 8 is better than our chance of winning the Stanley Cup. And so, of course, fans are going to think of that too. And what has the NHL done to fan bases when they're going to be cheering against their own team? There's going to be fans, a good portion of them, cheering again for the Canadiens to lose against the Penguins in the qualifying round. What have they done? That's not the way this is supposed to work.
Yeah, this is a mess. And I know that some people are saying, oh, well, it's a win-win situation. You beat the Penguins, you move on, and you get into the playoffs, and then you have a chance, because once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. Which is the famous line that we hear every single year when you hope and pray that Carey Price can carry you to a Stanley Cup when you just don't have the horses. But yeah, it's created this situation where, as you say, fans are going to be cheering against their own team. And even when you look at the Montreal Canadiens, the fact that Shea Weber, he sort of rushed himself back to play this season when the Montreal Canadiens were really floundering without him. And then the fact that Carey Price is in a situation where, I mean, he may have felt pressure. He certainly probably felt pressure given that he wants to win a Stanley Cup. And I'm not questioning his integrity as an athlete, that he would love nothing more than to win a Stanley Cup. But if you're looking at the pressure that might exist internally and externally before this happened, I don't think it's going to be anything similar to that. I think that there will not be much pressure applied to Carey Price to play these games if he doesn't want to, or Shea Weber for that matter, given the fact that he was coming back off of playing an injury last season, an injury this season. I mean, it's created these scenarios that you think about, and obviously you don't want to question the integrity of these athletes. You know that they want to win, absolutely. But in this specific scenario where we did not envision this happening, it's really made these questions something to think about.
You know, Eric Ingalls, and we know Eric is a good reporter, and but he's always putting out the information that the Canadians want put out there, and he tried putting lipstick on a pig here and said basically said, well, but did you hear all the buzz? And kind of making the point that any buzz when the league hasn't been in session since March that it's good buzz. Well, no, not if you piss off your hardcore fans, and not when you make it so that new fans, casual fans, think this is all a joke and not fair. And I guess I just don't, you know, there'll be the argument that they'll get some, the Canadiens players will get some postseason play, that they, if they beat the Penguins, that they'll get some playoff experience. But those kind of marginal ads, that pales in comparison to getting a franchise player like Alexis Lafreniere.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's certainly, as I said, with this current situation, the fact that there is a mystery team, a placeholder team that's landed the first overall pick, it begs these types of questions, and something certainly to think about if that resumption of play happens. And I think if you're the Montreal Canadiens, you almost, and I think for various reasons, for sporting fans, you just root that none of these returns to play happen, just because you're asking athletes to do some things that maybe aren't exactly fair. But if the return to play doesn't happen, as I said, then the Montreal Canadiens will get those that 12.5% chance regardless. So I think you'd almost root for that to happen rather than to root against your own team in hopes of getting Alexis Lafreniere and the talent that he has. But yeah, this is a ongoing story. We, as I said, this is the set fire on Twitter last night, and it hasn't since stopped.
Well, my final point here is, bottom line for Canadiens fans, chance to pick first. Otherwise, we'll pick ninth. So start your mocks in that way.
Yes, absolutely. Regardless, there'll be excitement about the NHL entry draft for the Montreal Canadiens. This is expected to be a pretty deep draft, and especially in the top 10, there are some really nice pieces there. But of course, now that a placeholder team has a shot at Alexis Lafreniere. That is where all the attention is going to go. So we will see how this all progresses going forward. But Rick, I think we'll take a quick break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. When we come back, we'll wrap this up with some emails and an update on the bracket challenge as well. So stay with us here on the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The Canadians Connection is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. Their mission is to build a worldwide network of sports fans who are informed, engaged, entertained, and connected. Learn more about RSM, its team, and its portfolio of brands at rocketsportsmedia.com. I bet you enjoy sporting your best Habs jerseys, dressing up your kids and pets in the cutest Habs gear, and showing off your decked-out hockey cave or fanic. Well, don't just show your friends, show your Habs. The team at All Habs wants you to boast your finest pictures for our global network of Montreal Canadiens fans. Include the hashtag #ShowYourHabs when posting your fan photos on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Then log on to showyourhabs.com to see your entries, along with photos and posts from Habs fans all over the world. A proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network. If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. In addition, we also offer sponsorship opportunities for fan events and featured areas of website content, giving you name and logo recognition. Visit rocketsportsmedia.com to contact us for further details and information regarding this unique marketing opportunity. For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, their affiliates, and their prospects, log in to allhabs.net, your year-round resource for anything Habs-related. That's allhabs.net.
Welcome back to episode 90 of the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. And Rick, here in this third segment, you've got an email that you talked about earlier, someone defending the case of Daniel Alfredsson for the Hall of Fame.
I do. And thanks for reaching out. You can send us an email, info@allhabs.net. You can send us a text. You know our text line, the Rocket Sports text line. It's 5853-ROCKET. Or you can reach out on to us on Twitter or the All Habs fan page on Facebook. This says, hello, All Habs. Heard the news today. Really disappointing. Shameful, actually. Alfredsson's a great player. During his peak years, top 10 for sure, just like Aginla. I live in Ottawa, and being a Habs lifer, we know what great talent is. Skill, leadership, and work ethic were masterful of the highest order by Alfredsson. I guess the NHL likes to have some players jump through the hoops before attesting to their just rewards. That's disgraceful in my opinion. Alfredsson would be on my team before I could blink. Take good care. And then adds at the bottom, do you think our general manager will be around much longer? Personally, I think it's time to turn the page on him.
Yeah.
You got to get that in.
That's the standard.
You got to get that in.
That's the standard.
And as I said, I can't argue with a case that can be made for Alfredsson. And it seems that he understands that, maybe you don't put him in right away on his first year of eligibility.
Yeah, and there's time for Daniel Alfredsson. I believe that Daniel Alfredsson's a Hall of Famer, but I think there's still time for that. So, but always great to hear from some listeners and share their thoughts, especially with something like the Hall of Fame. There's always some personal attachment to some of these players, like you said with Paul Henderson, and I completely agree with what you said about Paul Henderson. He should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame, absolutely. And we all have those sentimental guys that we would really like to see in there, as well as and when they have the career to back it up, that just makes it even more But yeah.
One more email, and this is from our dear friend Dino Le Petit. Bill, he says, "Hello, my eternal friends at All Habs. I'm currently at work, but want to pass on a little note. Can you help me? I don't understand what happened with the draft lottery this time. I thought that only teams that are not part of the series were worthy to be included in the lottery. How is it that a club with a winning season could possibly win the first overall selection? Who are the rewards supposed to be for? The already strong or the ones that needs help? The one that needs help? How could they conceive of such disappointment? It seems like a little gimmick to me. And it's incoherent to not only hockey people, but the rest of the people in the league. This is unthinkable. Hope you're well always, despite everything. Your friend, Le Petit Bill."
Yeah. And I think, listen, it's understandable that the frustration would exist because you have general managers that, and if this were any other season, they would know that it's the draft lottery and anything can happen and anyone can move up into the top three. And we're aware of that, but you look at just the thing that the fact that these would be teams that have been included in this 24-team format, and now they get an opportunity. If they lose that, it has to be so frustrating for fans of these teams and the general managers, as you pointed out with Yzerman and Blake and Dorion trying to put the positive spin on it. It's just his job eternally to sell hope or try at the very least. But yeah, it's understandably frustrating for those franchises. But Rick, we have the bracket challenge that has continued. The first round of the bracket challenge ongoing for the defensemen. And we had two matchups this week. We had Patrice Brisebois go up against Nathan Beaulieu, and Patrice Brisebois with 87% of the vote in that matchup. And P.K. Subban against Hal Gill. I remember Hal Gill, the mentor of P.K. Subban early on in his career, or attempted to mentor P.K. Subban, sort of guide him in whatever way that he could. And P.K. Subban with the 76% of the vote. Look at that. Isn't that funny? So that's fitting. So, yeah, P.K. Subban currently in the lead on Hal Gill, and Brisebois beat out Nathan Beaulieu. And these will all get much more interesting as we go on. You'll have to make some tough decisions with some of these defensemen, especially. I think they're, as I said before we started this, the defensemen are the deeper division compared to the forwards. So it'll definitely have to it'll split some fans down the middle, I think.
It will. And again, I thank you for putting this together, and with our help of Mike, and you guys have done a great job. And as you said, it'll get even more interesting as we go along.
Absolutely, it will. So, Rick, before we sign off for another week here on the Canadians Connection podcast, would you like to just announce that we will be changing in some form the way that you find our podcast here at Rocket Sports Radio?
Well, we've been really busy during the pandemic, busy keeping you up to date, but also, as we like to do in the off season, it was kind of the off season to improve our product, to improve our content. And this is a major project. It's actually a year in the making that's coming to an end. And we hope to have it fully rolled out by the time play returns at the end of July. I should just say that as far as podcast, I mean, you know, we've been around since All Habs Hockey Magazine has been around since the beginnings in 2007. It was around 2010 that Chris G, a bit of a pioneer, got involved in podcasts. And we I remember meeting Chris at Broussard, and he pitched moving his podcast at the time, and the fledgling Habs 360 to All Habs. And we made a deal and started in 2011. It was a great partnership, and we hosted over 250 episodes of Habs 360 with Chris's direction. Now Chris still helps us out on this podcast as a producer, but going back to 3 years ago, we started to broaden our offerings, and we introduced Rocket Sports Radio, and under that umbrella we had a number of podcasts. You jumped aboard the podcast as host, and we rebranded Habs 360 as Canadians Connection, And you've done a tremendous job, and I've seen a lot of growth there. And you know, there was other choices I could have made, but you're absolutely the right choice. So that's grown from the press box, our podcast on prospects the AHL CHL and the NCAA, that has grown leaps and bounds. So it was time for us to move away from our podcast hosts. We've got new equipment. We've got a new studio. We've got a new platform. And you're gonna hear much better audio. You're gonna hear greater. You're gonna see greater distribution over the next few weeks, and we're all starting to roll this out. As you said, we've allowed you to subscribe under one umbrella, Rocket Sports Radio. Well, this particularly from the press box has grown so much. And it's grown beyond the Montreal Canadiens community bundling it with the Canadiens connection is not some of those hockey fans' cup of tea. So we're gonna give them their own feed. We're gonna allow people to subscribe individual feeds. So we're gonna ask you to start looking for the Canadiens connection. When you want to subscribe, we're going to ask you to start looking for From the Press Box to subscribe. And also we're going to ask you to tell, if you're enjoying us, to tell your friends, rate us, and start spreading the news. Cause both shows have experienced exponential growth and are about to take off. So we'll ask you to do that. And the last thing I'll say is, we couldn't have done this without you. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for the great numbers we've had during the pause. And I think it's a credit to you. It's a credit to people like Joe and Amy and Chris and our great team. And I'm just happy to be associated with all of it.
Well, thank you for those kind words. And it's well-deserved for Amy and Chris to be getting that praise as well. They've done a remarkable job. And from the press box, as I said earlier in the show, your most recent episode with Joe Yurden, that was the first episode with this new sort of way to record these podcasts, was such a fascinating listen. So definitely go back and listen to that show. It's well worth your time, well worth the listen, as always, with Rick and Amy. And certainly at allhabs.net, great content coming out, and these podcasts included. So we'll just be making the change that Rocket Sports Radio will become two separate sort of things. You have the Canadiens connection, you have From the Press Box, and that's going to be fantastic. So, Rick, we sign off for another week here on the Canadiens Connection podcast. Anything you'd like to say before we sign off?
Just thank you, and stick with us, because as you see, things happen very quickly in the hockey world, and we're going to have some great shows. We got a great show coming up on Tuesday from the Press Box, and we'll be back here next week with a tremendous show. Joe and I will be for the Canadiens Connection.
Absolutely, and we can't wait to be back here discussing all things Montreal Canadiens, all things NHL, and this resumption of play that continues and continues to amaze everyone and varying different levels. So we'll be back next week to discuss all of that at 1 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 Newfoundland time. So thank you for tuning in to the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio, and we'll be back next week to inform, engage, and entertain a little bit more. Thank you for tuning into the Canadiens Connection podcast.
For the latest news on the Montreal Canadiens, follow us on Twitter @HabsConnection and visit allhabs.net.